This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Get that line for
yeah,
Maggie's back in town.
Look out, that one felt Maggie good. That one felt good.
Chris,
yeah.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan, WFAN.
Yeah. Even the yes sir sounded good. The voice is getting better. How are we doing at 201 on this Thursday morning? Mick Monagle here with you. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Taking your phone calls all the way to 5 o'clock in the morning when the warm-up show will come your way. All right, I know what you're all doing. You're panicking. Don't panic. I don't scare easy. Neither should you. Let's get to the Yankees. We'll get to the football, obviously. Got a big game coming up tonight. Giants, Cowboys, we'll get to the Mets and the disaster. And I usually don't like to pile on everybody else's opinion, but Major League Baseball and this whole thing is an absolute joke. We'll get to that and what could be Monday for that doubleheader. But let's talk about a team that is in the postseason already. Let's talk about a team that will win this division, and let's just start there. Calm yourselves. The division is over. The New York Yankees will be, they just don't know it yet, will be the American League East champion. And these two nights, as uncomfortable as they were, I just don't understand. Because look, to start the day, you get the news about Nestor Cortez, and I just heard Keith saying it like as I was practically walking in. The idea that just a week ago, a couple days ago, we were talking about how healthy this team is, and how good, how they're healthier than everybody else, and for the first time in forever, you feel like they're going in feeling really good about who they are, where they are. Everyone's healthy, playing well. And then, boom, you get hit with the Cousins pectoral muscle issue. And hopefully he could be back for the postseason. But again, let me see it and I'll believe it. And then, of course, Nestor Cortez goes down right before a game. He was about to start in the middle of a period of Nestor Cortez pitching better than he has at any point this year. Since his brief move to the bullpen, he was motivated. He had a chip on his shoulder, he was ticked off, and he was pitching the best baseball of his season by far. And to get the injury early this morning, or it was at least early this morning to me whenever I woke up, to find out that he's been dealing with this elbow issue, and they took imaging, and it's a strain, and he's gone, and they're forced to start Marcus Stroman, who is awful. And you watch him in this game. And we'll get to what the Nestor Cortez situation is moving forward and how that impacts them in the postseason, whatever. But for this game, for them to go out there and try and clinch, and now they're 0-2 in this homestand, in this series against Baltimore, who has owned them this year, can't argue it, have won now four and eight this season against Baltimore, the New York Yankees. Have won 8 of the first 12 against the New York Yankees. No, can't argue it. They've played very well against the Yankees. The Yankees haven't played well against them. And to head into this night with Marcus Stroman, who has already been relegated to the bullpen, to mop-up bullpen, who will not be counted on in the postseason. The overreaction to these two games, and here's what I talked about a little bit yesterday, and we're going to get into it before we get to the real conversation that comes out of this game that's going to actually impact this New York Yankees team come postseason time. But let's just talk about this game and how it went. They threw out a pitcher that they have no intention of pitching in the postseason, who doesn't have stuff that can go anywhere near the strike zone, or he's about to get pounded, who probably won't be on the team next year. They'll try and find a way to move on from him. He has been a disaster. He is washed. He gave the Yankees in this game, while we're looking to clinch, absolutely zero chance to win. Zero chance. But I do want to remind people, before we get all crazy, I do want to remind, just briefly, New York Yankee fans, before we talk about how ugly these two games are and what we could take from it from the postseason, and this has got to scare you, and they got to clean it up, and this is embarrassing, I do want to remind you that they went into this series with a 6-game lead. And you know how they did it? Do you know how they did it? They did it by winning. They did it by going out and taking this division by the horns. They didn't back into it. Sure, Baltimore hasn't played well, totally true. But this Yankee team has had the best record in the American League since July 27th. This Yankee team just went out on the West Coast and went 5 out of 6. This Yankee team had won 5 series in a row prior to this game. They went out there and played well enough and played good enough baseball and went out there for the last month plus and took this division by the horns, a division they were down 3 games in, and had turned it around to make these games relatively meaningless when it comes to the standings, when it comes to winning this division. That's what they did over the last 2 months. And if you want to make the last 2 nights a more of an indictment and statement on where this team is, when in one of those 2 nights they threw out a starting pitcher that gave them zero chance to win, then you do you. But I am not going to make these 2 nights more important than the last 2 months when they went out there and took this division. And it's taken a while to clinch it. Sure, we don't like to clinch it the first night available. They clinched the playoffs the first night available out in Seattle. And yes, Cleveland with a big-time 3-run home run from Ramirez in the 8th inning won their game. The Yankees are 1 game up in the loss column over the Cleveland Guardians for the number 1 overall seed, and there is an importance to that. And nobody likes losing, and I don't like to see the game over in the 5th inning for the most part, even though this offense did battle back. And I don't like to see base running gaffes, and I certainly don't like to see balls dropping in the outfield, which we're going to get to in a second here. But let's not make mistakes about what this team is right now and the way they're playing. They got beat in a close game, and yes, Glaber made a ridiculous base running decision. I would throw Soto into that conversation as well on the base running decision. And they lost a tough game, a well-pitched game for the most part by Clark Schmidt, who's actually a pitcher that they will rely on moving forward, unlike Marcus Stroman, who pitched last night. And he had nothing. The defense didn't play great around him. And the team got beat, and they've been beaten in these first 2 games. But this division was decided before they ever got to this series, and the Yankees did that by winning. Let's not forget what's going on here. The Yankees have been playing good baseball. This is not 3 months ago when the Yankees were losing series after series. That was a stretch, and it concerns me. And that's the other thing about this. If the Yankees went out there and won this game, Would it eliminate all of your concerns? We know what the concerns of this team are, and they're legitimate concerns. By no means am I beating my chest and saying, hey, we're the Yankees. Who cares about these 2 games? We're going to roll through the postseason. We know what the issues are. And this team could beat any team in all of baseball, and this team can lose to any team in all of baseball. They could be playing in the World Series. They could lose the first 3 games of a division series. There is absolutely no doubt that everything there and in between is on the table for this New York Yankees team. Absolutely. And we know what the concerns are. And the concerns are right now, Wells in the middle of the lineup is no longer the player he was a month ago. He's having a miserable September, and it's a problem. Jazz Chisholm, who came up into a situation last night, bases loaded, opportunity to do something, swung at the first pitch and hit a fly ball to right field. He's really struggled over the last 50 at-bats or so. And we know what it's going to be come postseason time, all the fears we have. Gleyber Torres making a mistake. If he didn't make that base running mistake, you would be cool with Gleyber Torres right now? You'd have the same fears we always have. Are they going to hit enough? Are they going to make a boneheaded play? And for 2 months, they probably made them still. We don't remember them because they've been winning. And as I pointed out last night, Chuck Knoblauch in 98, boneheaded play. No one cares about it because they went on to win the World Series. But the idea that these two games are an indictment, and as someone, I apologize, I don't remember your name, but someone who tweeted at me, oh, the Yankees were lucky over the last 2 weeks, and tonight's a real, and like, so when the Yankees win, they're lucky, and when they lose, it's the real team. That's how we handle it. And the fact of the matter is, they're somewhere in between. And I still believe them to be the best team in the American League. And I still believe that we have an issue about hitting in the clutch. I still think the Yankees have a problem with the bottom of the order. But right now, let's be honest. The rotation, with Clark Schmidt pitching well, even with the loss of Nestor Cortez, which is much more of a loss for the bullpen than it is the starting rotation. Because right now you have Cole, who will pitch later today in hopes to finally clinch this division. You've got Luis Gil, who has been good since coming back from injury. You've got Carlos Rodon, who whatever doubts we might have about him, other than a five-game stretch in the middle of the season, has been absolutely dominant. And then you've got Clark Schmidt, who I firmly believe is the best guarantee in the entire staff to give you six innings, three runs. Like, I don't know if the Yankees have a pitcher I'm more confident in will at least give you that. I don't know if he'll give you eight no runs. That's Cole. That's Rodon. That's possibly Luis Gil. But who's going to be steady and give you a decent performance? That's Clark Schmidt. That's what he's done. And if Cousins comes back for the bullpen an injury, I feel better about the bullpen moving forward. Last night, they got beat up by Stroman and then the slop and the bottom of the bullpen that has to come in when you're in a game like that. I don't think that these two games indicate anything other than they didn't play well for two games. They've been winning this whole time, and they already went into this division winning enough to make these games relatively meaningless. They need one more victory over the next four. They're playing three against the Pirates. And then even if they don't win any of those games, Baltimore has to win all of them. The Yankees have won the American League East, and the season starts next Saturday. And we'll find out whether that's as the one seed or the two seed. That is still up for grabs. They need to absolutely go out there and play better. They got Cole on the mound. They'll have Rodon on the mound. They're going to pitch their best pitchers down the stretch. They are going to get ready for the playoffs. The season starts, not tomorrow, and it didn't start last night. It starts on Saturday. And that's because the Yankees have been winning over the last 2 months to guarantee that. Now, let's get to the issue of that is at hand and the left field situation. Because I, as well as you, and sometimes we're on the same page, believe it or not, I, as well as you, want Jason Dominguez to be in left field. I, as well as you, wanted Jason Dominguez to be called up earlier than he was. I, as well as you, was fed up watching, and am fed up watching, Verdugo go out there and hit nothing but ground balls to second base. I'm sick of it. You're sick of it. We're all sick of it. And two nights ago, when they decided to play him, none of us understood. Now I understand, because let's be honest, he's a disaster out in the outfield. Dominguez is not just struggling a bit, and I understand that he's playing out of position. One, I feel like, I got to go back and check, I feel like the one he overran in Seattle, he was playing center field. In left field, the ball hit him in the glove in Seattle, and now this one, this isn't a ball off the... This isn't not knowing how to play a ball off the wall. This isn't unsure how to handle yourself in the corner. This is a fly ball tailing away from him on a left-handed batter, which happens in center field, right field, left field. I understand he's played mostly center field. The mistakes here haven't been, oh boy, that's a left field issue. It just isn't. And when you head into the postseason, you cannot have pop-ups with 95% catch rate hit the ground. So there is a legitimate concern and a legitimate decision that the Yankees are going to have to make about left field. Because as much as I want Dominguez, and for me, and I'll just tell you my opinion, I have seen the bottom of this lineup and the offense struggle enough come postseason time that I want the offense. You saw it in this game. One, he hits the ball way harder. I don't think there's even a comparison offensively. He hits the ball so much harder than Verdugo does. He has better speed. You saw him beat out a single in this game. The switch hitting ability, like, there's no doubt the far better offensive player is Jason Dominguez. But as we see, like, the Yankees right now aren't playing a talented infield, right? You've got Jazz Chisholm, who's playing third base, who at times can make the spectacular play, but as you saw in this game last night, can also fumble the easy play. You've got Gleyber Torres, who I think is capable of making any play on the field, but he also leads the American League and I think all of baseball in errors from the second base position. And you've got Volpe, whose arm strength is a bit of an issue, although he's a Gold Glove winner and he gets to pretty much everything. Soto in right field is an experience. So when you look at this team, they're not good defensively. They're really not. It's one of the other concerns about this team. So to throw another liability in the outfield, it's a major concern. It's a major concern. These aren't just, hey, that's a tough play for a left fielder coming in. These are fly balls that have to be caught. These are fly balls that softball, weekend softball warrior players make. Like, I'm not trying to be a bad guy here. And it is funny to me that the Yankee fans, and I've always joked about this because I am the Brian Cashman shill. I love the line about how Brian Cashman, he's the smartest guy in the room, has to be the smartest guy in the room. And then every Yankee fan thinks they know best. And then every Yankee fan acts like they're the smartest guy in the room, myself included. Just so happens that in this room by myself, I happen to be. But we're clamoring for this young kid. We're clamoring for him to be called up. We are begging to put him in the lineup. And then you watch the first inning and a ball drop in the outfield and you say to yourself, I understand. I understand. And I don't know what they're going to do because I said yesterday that I believe Verdugo is just getting a little bit of run. One, because they wanted to give him a chance to be in the outfield on the clincher when he's been with them all year. And I also thought that maybe they were going to make a decision on the playoff roster, how they feel about it, if he could hit a little bit to be the backup and kind of get on the roster instead of Grisham. Now I firmly believe that he is in play for left field a lot more than we would like because you can't have balls land in the outfield. So right now, left field is a major problem. And for years, left field was kind of, if you remember, even when they were winning, left field was like Chad Curtis. Left field was Ricky LeDay. Left field has always, until Matsui got there, it feels like. The left field has always been a problem for the Yankees. And it feels now, I know people are having fun with the Brett Gardner curse, but right now, left field is an issue. Jason Dominguez is an issue. Verdugo stinks. So you want to talk about all the reasons why I'm worried about the Yankees in the postseason? It's the same ones before today. It's the same ones I had while they were winning on the West Coast. Yesterday doesn't change that. The other game against Baltimore doesn't change that. The issues are, can the bottom of the lineup hit? How good are they defensively? And are they going to make a dumb play? And if all of those questions were pretty good over the last 2 days, it wouldn't have changed my opinion of the team. Nor do a couple of the indications of it last night make me feel any worse about it. This is who the Yankees are. We knew it. But the idea that last night is more of an indication than the last 2 months is just not true. And I jinxed myself by saying I was singing so beautifully. 888-808-1019. All right, we got to get to the doubleheader. We got to get to the Mets situation. We got to get to the Giants. And can they actually do something they haven't done in what feels like forever? And at least give the Cowboys a game. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. I got you till 5 o'clock, but your Yankee calls up first, right here on The Fan.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 225. Sorry about the end there. I kind of lost it. My my throat's been a little fickle, and today I had just quite the experience getting out of the building. I went to the Yankee game today, last night, and it's easier for me, at least I think, as opposed to driving there, getting out of the parking lot, then driving here, gas, tolls, all of it, you know. I just think it's easier. I drive into work, I park the car here, and then I take the subway to the game and subway back when I do this, when I take go to the games when I'm working. So that's what I did today. Drove in here, took the subway. Getting there was perfectly fine. Leaving, I usually hang out for a little bit, even though the building had emptied out already at Yankee Stadium. Typically, I try and wait a little bit before it's just too crazy, but it wasn't so bad because everybody was out of there by the seventh inning because the Yankees were getting blown out. So I get on the train, and I typically take the 4 train just one stop to Grand Concourse, get off and take the 2 all the way down here until 14th Street and then transfer to the 1. Not that you care, but that's usually what I do. Get off the Grand Concourse. There is no 2 train there. They're doing nightly for 3 days. For the 24th, 26th, and 27th, they are doing construction or whatever work on the rails in between there and whatever. And I'm just like, what? They're like, yeah, sorry, no 2 train. I'm like, what do I do? They're like, you got to get outside, take the bus. There's like a free bus running that's going to take you down to wherever. Take it to the last stop. And when you get off there, there'll be 2 trains running Manhattan bound. I'm like, okay. So I go outside. I don't know. I see people as soon as I walk out on the of the train station onto the street. I see people waiting for the bus. So I'm like, I'll wait for the bus. I don't know 149th and Grand Concourse at all. So I get on the bus. The bus goes 2 stops. Everybody gets off. I don't ask questions. I follow the crowd. I'm following the crowd. I go down into the subway, and I realize this is going uptown. So I took the wrong bus the wrong way to avoid the track work to get uptown on the 2 train. And I'm sitting there waiting 10 minutes before I realize this. And then I finally talked to somebody, and they're like, you know, this is uptown. I'm like, well, how do I find the down? How do I get the down Brooklyn bound downtown train to get to Manhattan? Oh, you got to take the bus and take it down to the last stop. So I literally got on the bus and went the wrong way. So I got to get back on the bus and take it all the way down the other way. And then I'm waiting for the bus. That's about 15, 20 minutes before the bus shows up. I'm taking that all the way down. Then I get on the 2 train. Finally get on the 2 train going down Manhattan bound. Get on the 2 train. Taking forever. Making every single stop at night. Get off at 14th Street. Only to find they're not running 1 local trains. So I'm like,
I was taking the 2 train before.
Like, is that 14th Street? Now they're not running. So I had to get out. Not that it's a big deal. It's a 10-minute walk. Not even. I had to get out at 14th Street and walk down here. Train, planes, and automobiles. And with my mustache, I look a little bit like John Candy in that movie. It's apropos. But like, I'm just like, what? It took me forever. I didn't get here until almost 1 o'clock in the morning. Just an interesting evening. Interesting evening on top of the Yankees getting their butts kicked by Baltimore. Which, again, I don't read that. You know, I'll sleep fine tonight. The Yankees are going to win this division, and I feel exactly the same way I felt about them coming into the series as I do now. Like, if Gleyber Torres hadn't made a base running blunder, would we all be comfortable that Gleyber Torres won't make a blunder? If Stroman pitched well, would we all want him to pitch in the postseason? Like they haven't They've been playing really well for a long stretch. And these two games, nothing happened in these two games that make me feel any different about this team other than they have trouble with the Orioles. Maybe it's a bad matchup, but even that, we've seen teams be dominated in the regular season and then beat them in the postseason. I mean, 2007 jumps out at me that they beat the Cleveland Indians every single game of the regular season and then got beat in the postseason, the ALDS. Nothing changed in these two games to make me feel any different about the New York Yankees. Stroman's not a part of the team. All the relievers who came into this game aren't going to pitch in meaningful situations. And the lineup actually showed some resiliency, but I'm still worried about the bottom of the lineup. I'm worried about Dominguez. I'm worried about, like, all the things I was worried about legitimately about this team overall are still the same things I'm worried about. And I would have been no matter how they played in the series. And they're going to win the division and most likely still be the one seed. 888-808-1019. Barry in Freehold. What's up, Barry?
Oh, wow. How you doing?
Good. How are you? You all right there?
Yeah. Sorry about that. You were on speaker.
No worries. I
didn't expect to get on so quick.
That's how it works. Quick.
Yeah, that's right. Anyways, I'm pissed off at the Yankees. You know, the state of it all is you know, besides for Judge and Soto, they're just way too inconsistent. And I'm afraid this is going to bite them in the playoffs, just like it did in the last few years.
That goes for if they don't play well in the postseason, they won't win.
But
other than the Houston Astros, who've put together a team that consistently plays well in the postseason, you could say that about every single team. Mookie Betts has been one of the worst postseason performers over the last 3 years in all of baseball. If Mookie Betts and Ohtani don't do anything, who's never played in the postseason, the Dodgers are going to lose. Their rotation's in shambles. Like, they're going to lose. If you could look at Cleveland. If Cleveland, you know, that right now has no starting pitching, like, if they don't hit, or, you know, if Ramirez isn't there carrying their lineup as he hit a 3-run home run last night, like, Cleveland's not going to win. Like, that's how it works. So, right. Of course.
So you're saying it's a crapshoot.
No, what I'm saying is that the Yankees are good enough to win, but you have to play well.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
I didn't say it.
Obvious. We got a problem with it. Take it up with Derek Jeter, who said the best teams make it and the hottest teams win. That's Derek Jeter. Take it up with him.
Right. Yeah, so you're saying you're optimistic?
Of course, yes. I feel as good about this team as I have any team in recent memory, the New York Yankees. I think they're as healthy.
Really?
Yeah, of course. I think they're as healthy, even though they've dealt with Nestor Cortez or whatever. When I look at the competition around the American League, I think they're the best team in the American League. Right now, they have the best record in the American League.
They're 4-8 against, the team that's right behind them.
Okay, they're 4-8 against them. They have the best record they have the best record in all of baseball against teams over 500. And have
I don't
owned...
know, C-Mac. I hope you're right.
Well,
I hope you're right.
Well,
I'm just.
Well, listen, I'm not saying they're going to win the World Series. I'm saying I'm not proclaiming that I know they're going to win the World Series. What I'm saying is I feel about as good about them as I have. I think their rotation right now of Cole, Rodon, Heel, and Clark Schmidt, I feel about as good about that rotation as really almost any other in the American League by far.
Do you know what I feel? I feel like it's going to come down to situational hitting.
They've struggled with it, of course. And they've struggled with it.
And the problem is that the same issues that bit them, you know, in 23 and 22 are happening now. And it's, I'm sure, a prelude to how it might go in the playoffs. Like with Stanton, you know, it's like, I don't get this guy. Every at bat, he's behind in the count, and you just know he's going to strike it on that slide. It's going to be a slider, and he's going to strike it.
If you want to pick on Stanton, go ahead. He's having a very good year while he's been healthy. I mean, he's having a pretty good year. He came through with a base hit in the rally in this game that Gunnar Henderson just got a glove on, and he's been their best postseason performer by a mile since 2020.
Right.
That's
true.
I mean, yeah. Listen, I'm not saying the Yankees here. I'm not pulling a Jim Fossil here. I'm not putting all my chips in the table and telling you the Yankees are going to win the World Series. What I'm saying is that of course they have issues that I'm concerned about. But they're as good as any team in Major League Baseball. And you want to tell me, oh, they're 4-8 against the Orioles. Okay. The Orioles have been under 500 for forever. And the Yankees have the best record in all of baseball against teams over 500 and have played particularly well against all the playoff teams. They swept Philadelphia. They have, they beat the Astros. They've played well again. They've beaten Cleveland this year. They've beaten Kansas City this year. They've beaten every playoff team in there. They swept the Tigers and then lost 2 out of 3. So they have this. They've won the season series against the Tigers, the Royals, the Guardians, the Astros. Like every single playoff team other than Baltimore, they have beat this year. Every single one. Philadelphia. The Mets obviously own them, and they lost 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers. They beat the Brewers. Like they have beaten every single playoff team almost exclusively. So, like, you can't tell me, oh, well, they're 4-8 against the Orioles. Okay. Maybe it's a tough matchup. Well, the Orioles haven't played well, and the Yankees have played as good as anyone against or better than anyone against teams over 500. I mean, all I'm talking about is we talk out of both sides of our mouths sometimes. Because, like, it's when the Yankees lose to under 500 teams, it's like it's a debacle. Look at who they're losing to. It proves they can't win the World Series because they're losing to under 500 teams. Then they sweep the Oakland A's, and Gerrit Cole throws 9 innings of shutout baseball, and they go, well, it's only the A's. Okay. So when you beat the A's, it doesn't matter. You lose to the A's, it's proof you can't win the World Series. They had a bad 2 nights. They've played as good as anybody. That's all. Do I feel good about them? Yeah, I feel good about them. I feel good about the New York Yankees right now. Their rotation is solid. The bullpen, since Weaver's gone to the back end, as long as if Cousins is going to come back healthy, and it sounds like they expect him to be there for the postseason, you've got Hamilton, Canely, Cousins, and obviously Weaver and Hill. Now, you lost the idea of having that extra starter with the Cortez injury. That's a bummer. But you've got a back end of the bullpen that's pitched pretty damn well over the last 2 months. And you have two of the best hitters on the planet hitting second and third in your lineup. That doesn't make them the perfect team, no doubt. But point to someone who's clearly better. And if you think that's a whataboutism, like, oh, you're pointing at other teams and what they do. What about the Yankees? I just told you the Yankees, and here's the thing. They're playing those other teams. Like, to talk about them like they're not relevant to the conversation is stupid. I can't tell you how many people are like, oh, well, yeah, you always bring up other teams. Why don't you focus on the Yankees? I'll tell you about the Yankees, but they happen to be in a conversation with these other teams. That's who they're playing against. If it was the Big Red Machine, you know, if they were playing the 70s Cincinnati Reds and they were playing the 70s Oakland A's and they were playing the 90s Yankees in the playoffs right now, I'd be like, man, they're in trouble. They're not. Rick in Virginia. What's up, Rick?
Yeah, I wish I could share your optimism about the matchup between the Orioles and the Yankees, but here's the thing, Chris. Mm-hmm. The Orioles have gotten a lot of their position players back, too,
yeah,
that were injured for months and months and months. You look at the OPS of the Orioles' offensive starters versus the Yankees' offensive starters. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a night and day thing. I mean, other than McCann, I mean, who's low, but you look at all the other position players. I mean,
right.
I'm not talking about Soto and Judge. I mean, they carry the team,
sure,
of course. So that's one thing. And you know, if the Orioles and Yankees match up again next week,
yep,
are you telling me you're that confident that the Yankees can beat them in a best of five?
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean by confident? I'm not going to go bet the mortgage on it, but yeah, I feel you think they're doomed? I don't think they're doomed.
I don't think they're doomed.
Well, you think they should be underdogs in the series?
I think the Orioles lineup is stronger than the Yankees.
I mean, top to bottom, maybe. I think the Yankees' rotation is far better than the Baltimore. And I also think the bullpen, what it's been over the last 2 months, is better than the Orioles' bullpen. I think overall, top to bottom, I think the Yankees' team is better. You might be right. The bottom of the lineup might be better. And it might come, if it comes down to that scenario, fine. But I'll tell you right now, I would trust I know they have Burns. Other than that, I mean, Kramer, who pitched a good game against the Yankees. But who's the guy who they're throwing out? Eflin? Like, the Yankees have a far better rotation.
You don't need that deep rotation.
Oh, okay. You need two or three starters, and I'll take the Yankees top two or three.
The other thing here, why did Boone start Stroman instead of Poteet tonight?
Well, because he's just coming back from injury. I'm not sure how much length he would have been able to give them, and they went with Stroman, who's been with them all year. But
wouldn't you like three or four? I mean, irrespective of Dominguez's disaster out in left field, wouldn't you like maybe three or four strong innings to start a game and then like patch something together
you make it sound like you know you're going to get four strong innings from Petit. He hasn't pitched.
Well, here's the other thing. I know one thing, Chris. I know that Stroman's been pitching recently, and we see what you've gotten out of him.
He's
right?
not part of it, but here's the thing, and I know nobody likes to hear this. This wasn't Game 7 of the World Series. The division's already over. They got the news before the game that he can't go. They went with their next starter, who's been taken out of the rotation. Petit's just coming back from injury. You don't know how well he's going to pitch. You don't know any of this. Like, yeah, it's easy to say, well, he was better in this game than. And ultimately, yeah, hindsight being 20/20, would I have rather thrown Petit? Yeah, but we don't know what's going to happen at 10 o'clock in the morning when they're making these decisions. You have no idea.
No, well, all I know is this. I know that Stroman's been a disaster.
He has been.
And I would rather take a chance on having Petit. If Petit's back on the roster, presumably he's healthy and can give you three or four innings.
You don't know all the way from Virginia, Rick. Like, we don't know how many innings did he pitch in this game. We have no idea. And you just say, like, oh, well, if I'd rather have the three or four innings and then go through all of your bullpen? You're hoping Stroman can give you some length. He has pitched at points in this year relatively well. Like this, we're going to nitpick it. Hindsight being 20/20, Stroman stinks. Yeah, okay, I'd rather throw Petit in the game. But again, the Yankees have played so well over the last month that decision isn't life or death. That decision isn't life or death. Because of how much they've won recently, they've been afforded the cushion where they don't have, that's not life or death, that decision. And Stroman sucks. That's why he's not going to pitch in the postseason. That's why this game doesn't mean anything to me. They threw out a pitcher who's incompetent right now. And I don't know if Petit, who knows what Petit does? They got their ace on the mound tomorrow, followed by their second best pitcher, and then their third best pitcher. And all they have to do is beat them once or beat the Pirates once. Like, that decision, once Cortez goes down with injury, they're throwing the guy they hope gives them length. Paul in Buffalo, what's up, Paul?
Mac, excellent open. You're 100% correct with where the Yankee fans should be right now. They've been playing good baseball.
This is where, and since you crystallized it in that form, let me just run on that for a second, Paul. I'm going to get right back to your call. This is where I believe the Yankee fans should be. Extremely excited for the possibility of winning a championship while knowing the team is flawed enough where they can absolutely lose. I mean, I think that's about it. And I think that's where every team heading into the postseason should feel. And any good team, if you're a Dodger team, if you're a Philadelphia, you should be like, hey, I'm like, the Yankee fans should feel like, hey, we're the best team in the American League. There's no reason we shouldn't be in the World Series, but there is a plenty of issues where it might not happen. But we should be pretty excited instead of pissed off and looking for reasons to expect failure.
That's exactly right. People are looking for reasons, 100%. If the Yankees are going to win the World Series this year, it's because they're going to outslug people. We don't have the 90s pitching staff.
I think the rotation's pretty good, though.
It's good, but I don't know. To me, it's not great. Either way, it's not my point. We do have one guy who can be great, and he's going to pitch tomorrow or tonight, whatever the hell time it is.
Yep.
And if Cole throws seven great innings tonight, we're all going to feel wonderful about our chances tomorrow in this playoffs because we know we have the best lineup in the American League. And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I really believe there's going to be a Subway Series because I believe this Mets team is just touched of the baseball gods this year. This storm save their season. They would have gotten swept by the Braves if they had to play them three games in a row. And now they're going to collect themselves like they have all year long, mm-hmm. and they're going to come out all guns blazing against Milwaukee. I'm not a Met fan. I'm a Yankee fan, but I really believe this. This is an extraordinary season for the Mets, and I think there's going to be a Subway Series.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, it's very unlikely just because of the odds of both of them making it through the gauntlet that is the Major League Baseball playoffs. But I understand your point about the momentum of the Braves series, and they lost that first game and you would have worried about the next two. They were coming off winning 3 out of 4 against Philadelphia. Like, how much more momentum you think they're going to build in Milwaukee? Because here's the thing about it. Those games are most likely going to have to be played because they're going to have to pick up 2 games. Like, it's very unlikely the Mets go into Milwaukee and come out of Milwaukee not needing to go win against Atlanta. Like, it's very unlikely. So the idea, you think the difference between playing them last night and tonight or a doubleheader on Monday is that different? I don't know. And it's like, oh, they'll go build momentum in Milwaukee. Okay, they just came out of beating Philadelphia, the best team in baseball, 3 out of 4. How much more momentum are they going to build in Milwaukee against a team that might not even play them? Like, I think Milwaukee's on the record saying they're not going to pitch their starting pitchers more than 4 or 5 innings. They're getting ready for the playoffs. They got nothing to play for. So, yeah, they might win the games, no doubt. They might win the games. But it's not going to be, like, it can't be much more momentum building than making sure Philadelphia doesn't celebrate in your building and win 3 out of 4 heading into that Atlanta series with Severino on the mound. And I don't know how it sounds like they're going to pitch Manaea in game one against Milwaukee, which makes him out for one of the games against Atlanta. Or for either of the games against Atlanta. So now, you know, you're going to go in there most likely needing at least one, possibly both games. I don't know if it saved the Mets just yet, because Arizona won last night, and as long as they don't fall apart, these games are going to determine who gets into the postseason. That Monday, I'm telling you this right now. I know we should be promoting our own station, cross-promote. I don't know what you're going to be doing on Monday. And sometimes Evan listens to the show. I hope he's listening to this or goes back and hears it. I don't know what you're going to be doing Monday afternoon, but I can promise you, if you are a baseball fan, if you are a Mets fan, clearly, if you're a baseball fan of any kind, that would excite you the day after the regular season ends for everybody else, and the Braves and the Mets are playing to see who's going to be in the postseason. That doubleheader is going to be must-watch alongside Evan and Tiki, because the idea that the Mets will be playing a doubleheader against the Atlanta Braves to determine their playoff livelihood, and Evan is going to be in here talking reaction to the Jets-Broncos game while the Mets are fighting for their lives. That is must listen. I cannot wait for that moment, because I know how much it is going to be paining him. Because this is a great job. We love it. He's got, I mean, it's particularly Evan. Evan's got the greatest job in the world. Afternoon Drive host on WFN. It's arguably, in my estimation, as good a job as you can have on the planet. But in that moment, he's going to be miserable doing it because he's got his team fighting for their lives while he's probably talking around it because, you know, to let you in behind the curtains a little bit, we typically don't like to talk about the games that are on TV because if you're interested in that game, you're watching it. So anybody who's interested in the Mets is going to be watching that game, not listening to Evan. So typically, you don't talk about the subject of the matter in the moment because nobody is listening to you for that. They're watching that game if they want to talk about that game. They're into that game if that's something they want to discuss. So Evan, I don't know how they'll handle it. It is such a unique situation. They'll probably talk more about it than at most times because of how dramatic it is. But I'm telling you, that is going to be, I know we all love Ron, Keith, and Gary. Don't get me wrong. We love them. Just check in every once in a while. Big moment happens, tune in. You got delay, tune in. Even on the app, the Odyssey app, that you can go back and listen to my show, rewind or whatever, that's even a more delay. Keep that on next to you while you're watching the Met game just to check in on Evan every time something happens, because I can't wait for it. I cannot wait for it. Craig in Newark. What's up, Craig?
Hey, what's up, T-Mac?
What's up, brother?
Everything you said is true, but give me a minute.
Okay.
First of all, the Mets are one game up on the Braves, tied for the second wild card with Arizona. Yes. Arizona has to play San Diego, who has something to play for. The Braves have to play a Royals team that are fighting for their lives to keep their playoff spot. I think they're one game up. Like you said, Milwaukee has nothing to play for. Okay? Now, if you take two or three from Milwaukee, if you do, that's not asking a lot. And the Braves have to at least win two out of three from a Royals team that's fighting for their lives for the playoffs. They lose two out of three. That series is not important now against Atlanta, because you're going into that series three games up.
No.
And Fried and Sale already had pitched. So
no,
they're
you have to sweep. You have to sweep the Brewers, not win two out of three.
Okay, sweet. All right. Arguably,
winning two out of three only puts you up two going into that game.
Yes.
So you need to make up two games.
You're right.
So either the Mets sweep either the Mets sweep and the Braves lose two out of three, or the Braves get swept and the Mets win two out of three. So
exactly.
Two out of three and two out of three ain't good enough.
Oh, I understand, but I'm saying that kind of did help them, because I understand you saying Manaea might not be, you know, ready.
If he pitches Friday, he
won't
be.
They lost him for that game.
Yes.
Yeah, he won't
either game.
But neither is Sale or Freed. I'd rather take my chances with their bottom three starters than their top two bottom starters.
You just got shut down by him last night, two nights ago. You just got shut down by the guy who's going to pitch the game, or one of the games. Like, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Here's the thing. There is a chance. What the rain delay has provided is a chance that you can avoid it. That's what it has provided,
yes.
A chance. There is
a chance.
That you've been, that, and I'm sorry, I understand it. Part of me of it is like, so, like, you would do anything to avoid this Brave team. Like, I'd rather be a little bit tougher and a little
I'll
more
be honest,
confident.
I would.
I mean, I'd rather be a little bit more confident. I understand your point, but I'd like to think, hey, all I have to do is beat the Braves once. I don't need to run from it with everything I have, but yes. What this rainout has done has at least given you the possibility of not having to try and slay the dragon you've been unable to slay for 30 years. You might be able to walk around him. He might be sleeping, and you might be able to tiptoe around him. I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't think it. I don't think it's going to happen. Because I know the Brewers have nothing to play for. I would be totally... I definitely think the Mets could win two out of three, but, and I think they will at least win two out of three. And maybe they sweep. And I know the Royals are playing for a lot, definitely a lot. But you just said, look at the pitchers the Braves are going to be throwing. And the Royals have been terrible for the last 2 weeks. Terrible. So I just have a feeling that you're not going to avoid it. But yes, the rain delay does give you at least that. The rainouts give you hope that you don't have to do it. But I'd be very surprised if you don't. And if you do, then I don't know if it helps you that much. I mean, you do avoid Sale and you avoid Freed. That was who you were pitching. But you were going to throw your best, you know. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back. Bob and Joe, I see you guys on the line. We'll talk a little bit more about the Mets situation. And we'll go through the because that caller was confused. So maybe we'll go through it one more time exactly what could happen here, the ramifications of it. And again, I don't like to pile on situations. It's no fun. You always want to have the counterpoint if you can, if you believe in it. I'm not saying make up stuff, but I mean, Major League Baseball just bungled. I understand, you know, I saw Craig Carton's tweets and he was like, what do you do? It's a hurricane. Get the hell out of here. What are they supposed to do? But there's a lot of things they could have done. And I know the Braves, who, by the way, wanted to make sure they got the gate and didn't want to mess with start times or going to other sites. Like, there are other ways to make sure something happened that you don't need a two-game doubleheader the day before the playoffs start, and that's the bare minimum. Here's the other bare minimum. Major League Baseball has to do the one thing that they still can to make sure that either the Mets or Braves are not at an enormous disadvantage heading into the wild card series. I'll tell you what that is on the other side. 888-808-1019, 255 here on The Fan. McMonagle here with you till 5 a.m. and the warm-up show. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.